This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Powered by U-Mobile. 5G now with you.
Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Shazana Mukhtar. Beauty is big business, with Euromonitor International estimating that the market size will grow to nearly $550 billion in 2027, much of this driven by the Asia Pacific. However, with so many new labels emerging in an intensely competitive marketplace, can long-standing brands like The Body Shop stay relevant amid fast-moving trends and the digital age? Joining me to discuss this is Datin Mina Chia Fong, Managing Director of In Nature Berhad, which operates The Body Shop in Malaysia, Vietnam, and Cambodia. Datin Mina, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill.
Thank you.
Now, the last time we spoke in March last year, In Nature was still seeing a declining trend in profits due to the pandemic effect. Fast forward 12 months later, your 2022 results were much better. Profit was up 41% from the previous year to 21 million ringgit. Will this momentum be sustained in 2023, especially since there are concerns about a slowdown in the economy?
Okay, you started off on a very good note for us, because the beauty market is growing and the pie itself is getting bigger. And we ourselves are showing improvements in all our touch points of that we measure in terms of profitability, top line growth and operating expenses and operating profits. So we are optimistic for In Nature's prospects.
If we take a look at your individual markets, so you operate in Malaysia, you operate in Vietnam and Cambodia, most of them saw improved profit, except for Vietnam, where there actually was a dip. Profits dipped by 24% to 0.9 million ringgit. Why was this the outlier?
Okay, we had a growth in top line and a dip in profits because we, just prior to the pandemic, we had opened up 8 new stores in 2019, and all of them happening at the end of the year. So the full impact of rents and staff costs only happened in 2020 and 2021. Now, we carried all our rental costs and we continued to employ all our staff at full pay all through the pandemic. So that actually was what impacted the business. And of course, last year, the recovery was only just happening. And Vietnam, we saw, was actually slightly behind Malaysia in terms of its recovery. They started experiencing the pandemic later than us, and hence their vaccination program was also started slightly later than us as well. And the whole cycle just then rolled on, and therefore their recovery was actually later.
So it's because of that lagging effect that caused this. Does this also explain the profit margins? Because I see Malaysia is 17.5%, Cambodia is 11.7%, Vietnam is down to 3.2%. So is it because of all those factors you spoke about?
It was because of all those factors. And Vietnam has a slightly different cost structure to Malaysia. Rentals are very, very high in Vietnam, and it's almost double that of what we experience in Malaysia. So that is a very big fixed expense that we can't really give up. So that, and of course, staff. We employed a lot of staff to service our customers in these 8 new stores that we opened. And then the pandemic happened, there were no customers, but we already had these people with us. So that was also a cost that was unavoidable during the pandemic.
Despite that, though, based on 2022 results, Vietnam contributed about 20% of revenue. Cambodia is still the lowest at 2.5%.
Yes.
So at what point will we see these markets start becoming a significant contributor of sales? Are there targets that you have in mind in terms of how much they're going to contribute to your revenue?
Yes. Cambodia is always going to be small because the market is small and it's developing. And in Cambodia, there isn't even an e-commerce e-commerce market to Shopee or Lazada are not even in Cambodia. So we are expecting Cambodia to continue to contribute profitably, but small numbers.
In the single digits.
Single digits, yes. For Vietnam, Vietnam is where we actually see enormous potential because of its population, because of the gains actually Vietnam did because of the China-US trade war. There were a lot of relocations of businesses, manufacturing really boomed in Vietnam and so on. But however, in the last year, I'm sure you know that Vietnam has been going on an anti-corruption drive in the country, and that has impacted investor confidence and people's sentiments. I'll give you a specific example. It slowed down our store expansion because approvals have become increasingly difficult to get.
I see.
Everybody is loath to actually approve something just in case it falls on them and they have to be investigated. And so it's this whole climate of concern that's there, and that's stymieing businesses currently in Vietnam. But having said that, I guess this is a temporary thing. They've already done a lot of cleanup, so hopefully we can move forward again. Having said that, Vietnam is also still where we're focusing. Even just looking at our numbers itself, improving internal margins is something that we are working on. We've embarked on a new marketing strategy for Vietnam. Mm-hmm. We've just launched our TikTok shop in Vietnam. And Vietnam, in terms of its e-commerce and digital landscape, is so much more developed and accepted than in Malaysia. You know, in Malaysia, we've had to grow from step to step, you know. But whereas in Vietnam, there are no money for landlines. And I think immediately when the digital revolution came, everybody adopted it. In Vietnam, the handphone ownership is like 1.8 handphones per population. And we've got like 100 million people in there. So e-commerce for us and our digital and remote channels are very strong in Vietnam.
I'm very interested to hear more about your digital marketing strategy, but still sticking to the brick and mortar strategy. So you mentioned the difficulties in expanding shop presence in Vietnam. Is that the reason why you're experimenting with pop-up stores? I think you have 3 in Vietnam at the moment versus just 1 in Langkawi. Is that going to figure more in your brick and mortar strategy moving forward?
Definitely, because it's so expensive to actually acquire and establish a store, a retail store in Vietnam. That's what we are doing to test out the market first. And it's working for us. It's given us a low-cost entry into these locations that we are eyeing. But because the digital strategy is so strong, because the market's acceptance of what we are doing with our remote selling and our conversational commerce and so on in Vietnam, that's actually where we're going to be focusing ourselves on.
Okay.
We're pretty much happy with where we are in Ho Chi Minh City and Hanoi. So we are now opening up in the provinces, in the other cities in Vietnam. And that what we want to do is to use these stores as an experiential hub. Let people come in, smell the fragrance, try out the scrubs, and then when they are convinced, they buy online. So we are finding that after the pandemic, we don't really need as many stores as we used to. The ones who've had good experiences shopping online are sticking to it. So we are seeing that there's no longer any need to be everywhere in every mall. So which is good news for us. And that's where we're going. So that's why we are doubling down on our digital and remote channels.
Okay. I want to turn to revenue growth by channel, because as you mentioned, you're going to be putting a lot more attention into the digital space in terms of sales. If I'm not mistaken, last year, digital and remote channels reached 16% of contribution. And please correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't this less than what the contribution was in 2021, which was closer to 30%? So what explains that backtrack?
In 2021, we had a lot of store closures. I can't remember whether it's MCO 1, 2, 3 or 6, but we had store closures and therefore the only game in town was e-commerce. Mm-hmm. So that's why it went up. Now with the reopening of the economy and all stores and malls, we are finding that Malaysians, we love shopping in our malls. So that is the main reason why our e-commerce percentage numbers have dropped. But if we compare real money, ringgit, dong, and you find that it's actually grown. For Malaysia, our in terms in ringgit, we are double what we were in 2019. That was our hypothesis anyway, that if you give people a good experience on e-commerce, you establish that trust that they will get their products, they will get their products fresh and on time and in perfect condition, that they will buy and they will continue because it's so convenient. And that has proved to be right.
Last year when we spoke, you said that InNature doesn't rely on influencers to boost sales.
Yes.
Is that still the case or are you changing that strategy since you're going more into e-commerce, having that TikTok shop?
Yes, we are changing our strategy because we realize, you know, sometimes we cannot be like salmon all the time. Swim upstream. It's exhausting. So we do realize that people do want third-party sources of information, and particularly for something like TikTok and Instagram Reels. We are not TikTok experts. We're skincare experts. So creating a TikTok video is not our strength. So we are finding that we are having to work with influencers who are aligned with our values. That's the most important thing. You know, there are many people out there who are also interested in sustainability, who are also against animal testing, who also want naturality in their products. So we look for shared people with shared values similar to what the Body Shop espouses, and then we work with influencers. We are finding that that's actually getting some traction for us.
I'm speaking to Datin Mina Chia Fong, Managing Director of InNature Berhad, brand owner of The Body Shop in Malaysia, Vietnam and Cambodia. After the break, we discuss compliance costs related to ESG and whether the green premium is worth it. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile. 5G now with you.
Thanks for staying tuned to The Breakfast Grill. With me today is Datin Mina Chia Fong, Managing Director of InNature Berhad, the brand owner of The Body Shop in Malaysia, Vietnam and Cambodia. I'd like to talk a little bit about your relationship with your franchisor, Natura. It's the fourth largest cosmetic company in the world. How much flexibility does Body Shop in Malaysia have in its operations, given that it's the franchisee?
Yeah, we've had a very, very strong relationship with our franchisor. We've been their franchisee for 39 years now. So we have a good understanding of each other's strengths. The lines of responsibilities are actually quite clear. The Body Shop International is responsible for product development, manufacturing, supply, and brand, overall brand presence and direction. We, as a franchisee, are responsible in our markets to execute the brand strategy and sell out all the products that are produced. Mm. And we have a very healthy feedback system that goes in a loop, us to them back to us, and so on, to make sure that we create the most efficient and efficacious product for our customers. Because sometimes, you know, like a simple example, bath oils. How many Malaysian homes and Malaysian people are going to sit and soak in a bath?
A lot don't have bathtubs.
Yes. And when the Body Shop International talks about summer, winter, we are like, you know, it's the little things. It's these nuances
right
that we share back to them. But our roles and responsibilities are very clear, and we have an excellent relationship.
Are some decisions imposed on you to carry out? And I'm asking about the Natura brand, for example, which you did introduce back in 2019. You exited it fairly recently in October 2022. What happened there?
Okay. I think The number one reason for us is that Natura was really a consequence of the COVID. The business model for Natura is social selling. And to get that brand off the ground, you need belly-to-belly interaction. No? I need to show you, I need to demonstrate to you before I can recruit you as my beauty consultant. So we could not do that all through the pandemic. Mm. And looking forward, we thought that it would be a challenge for us to continue to do that. And also it would detract our exco from actually running what we need to, doing what we need to do with the Body Shop.
Okay.
Natura is, as I said before, is a slow stew. You know, you have to cook it and you've got to sort of like wait for it to mature. And I think it was best left to Natura & Co. They have deeper pockets for them to actually develop the business.
Okay. So it was a pragmatic decision.
Yes, and mutual and pragmatic and sad, but accepted from both sides.
I'm curious about your expansion plans for the coming year and whether can InNature consider inorganic growth, adding another brand, or is that going to be tied to the brands that are under the Natura umbrella?
It would be easiest for us to do that, but we find that there's still a lot of work that we need to do for ourselves. First of all, we need to recover from the pandemic. We are not, even for Malaysia, we're not back where we were in 2019. All right. So there's work for us to do there. And Vietnam. Vietnam, as you pointed out, we are lagging behind in terms of our net profitability. And although top line is strong, we need to make sure that we are a profitable organization, right? Mm. So that's a lot of work there and a lot of potential for us to fulfill. When we went on our IPO, we were telling people that in 5 years, we expect Vietnam to be about the same size as Malaysia. It's still only, as you said, 20-odd percent of Malaysia's, of our total InNature contribution. So we have a lot of work to do there. So although I am ambitious, I'm also pragmatic. And I know within internally ourselves, we have a lot of areas that we could be working on and doing better. Mm. And that's where we are going to be for 2023.
All right. Very focused on the present, putting aside any ambitious plans for a little bit later down the road.
Yes.
But one thing that you have done is really bank on your ESG credentials. And this is something the Body Shop has always been very proud of, even before ESG became the buzzword. For InNature, recently you became the first publicly listed company in Southeast Asia to be part of the B Corp certification. And you joined your parent, the Body Shop International, in getting this certificate. Why have you chosen to be part of such a rigorous ESG scheme?
Well, B Corp is actually a non-profit organization, and they are the one of the few that actually measures ESG in a holistic manner in all three segments, the environmental, the social, and the governance. Not only that, there is a verification process. And after you've completed the verification process, there is an improvement plan. Mm. So we want to make sure that we are a regenerative business, that we continue to improve and we continue to push our own boundaries. The thing that keeps me awake at night is that I don't know what I don't know. Mm. So joining B Corp and undergoing this whole verification process has actually opened up our eyes to all the improvement points. The maximum score, which no one has ever achieved, for B Corp is 200. We qualified at 83.6.
I think the cutoff was 80 points,
yes,
right?
Yes, the cutoff is 80. So we only did 83.6. And there were some places where we scored like 0.05 of a point. So, oh my God, there's a lot of work. And that was what I found so uplifting. I know it sounds like a a bit contradictory.
Yeah,
that I scored so low, but I'm like so hopeful. First of all, because we qualify, so few people actually managed to qualify. Mm. And we've been on this journey since 2018.
Really?
Yeah.
So you've been working on certification with B Corp for the past 4 or 5 years.
Yes, but you can cancel out the COVID years, all right? But we've been on this journey and we've known what we have to do since 2018, and then the pandemic happened and then we were like so busy pivoting here, pivoting there. You know, we actually put this aside for a while. But the best thing about B Corp is that it opens up our eyes to the whole thing about inclusivity and equity. We already think that we are quite inclusive and quite equitable, but there are improvement points. And scoring 83.6 is good because we qualify, but there's still a long way to go.
Okay.
So the best thing about why we did this was because, first of all, it's the right thing to do. And the second thing is it allows us to have continuous improvement and be at the top of our game in terms of ESG.
All very positive things, Dr. Mina. But I do wonder, none of these efforts are free. I'm sure they come with high costs even to get certification. So how much do these ESG compliance efforts cost you? And do you see a return on this investment in the form of a green premium? Do you see investors going like, oh yeah, they've got good ESG credentials. Yes, we want to invest because of that.
Okay, this is a question that I would beg for you to ask when you have fund managers sitting here in front of you. Everybody is expecting a green premium. But frankly, that's not why we're doing it, because I don't see it coming, because investors are still looking for growth. They're still looking for profitability. And ESG is icing on the cake. It's good to have. But having said that, we are looking for mission-aligned investors. We are looking for investors who are wanting to make their money, earn more money, but also do good.
Okay, so essentially you are going to be attracting investors that have that those similar value system, that similar value structure. That's who you are aiming for in doing all this.
That's what we are. Actually, no, I'm not doing this for the investors. I'm doing it because it's the right thing to do, and that is the purpose of our company. Our mission statement is business as a force for good. So this is fulfilling my business's purpose. I'm hoping to attract aligned investors who are also feeling the same thing, who feel that there must be more to life than just making money, right? You can, you know, and this was the whole purpose of us listing. I could have stayed a private company and just be making my profits all on my own and not having to share anything with anybody, trade secrets, right? But one of the reasons for listing was to actually put ourselves out there to say that you can run a profitable, regenerative business, respecting the environment, your employees, and your customers, and still be profitable.
I think I'm going to end on a question above prices, Dr. Mina. Your GP margins for 2022 stood at an impressive 66%. But is this sustainable for the year ahead, especially given persistent inflation, wage pressures, rental increases, a weak ringgit, more green compliance costs perhaps? You know, are we expecting, should we expect another round of price increases?
We are hoping not to. We've been reformulating our products and trying to get the best value for money for if we get it for ourselves, we get it for our customers as well. So we are hoping not to have any more price increases, especially at this time when people cannot afford it. And we are looking to sustain our current pricing for our customers. And there are other things that we are doing. For example, our push for digital and conversational commerce. That doesn't require CapEx any more than we've already invested. That doesn't require more staff, and that doesn't require rents. So in that sense, as the more our business shifts towards digital, the better our margins will be. So, but having said that, the pandemic has taught us that that we need to be working on variable costs. So that's something that's also within our control. So we are looking at that aspect of the business as well.
On that note, Dathimina, thank you very much for speaking to us. And we look forward to our next conversation in a year's time to see how things have progressed with the nature.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Dathimina Chiafong, Managing Director of In Nature Berhad. This has been The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9.
The BFM Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile. 5G now with you.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.